I want to read the line from John chapter 3, please. The Gospel according to John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 13, please. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, one verse from Acts chapter 16, please. The book of Acts chapter 16. Verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. One final reading, please, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, for one final verse. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, and verse number 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I'm sure God again tonight will bless the public reading of his own precious word. Let us take the time to sing one verse from 118, please. One verse only. 118. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. Let us keep our seats and sing 118, the first verse and the chorus only. I want tonight to bring three simple ideas before your minds and hearts from the three passages from which we have read together tonight. In John's Gospel chapter 3, I want to speak tonight about the night of discovery. The night of discovery. In the book of the Acts chapter 16, I want to speak about the night of decision. And then in Luke chapter 12 verse 20, I want to speak about the night of death. Three simple ideas before us now. The night of discovery. The night of decision. And lastly and solemnly, the night of death. You know, the mighty Professor Simpson, the man who discovered chloroform with all its use, one day he addressed a company of young students, and there the mighty professor outlined all the things that was upon his mind and heart. He left the meeting open for questions. And one young man asked the mighty professor one very important question. He asked, "Tell us, Professor Simpson, what is your greatest discovery?" Everyone in the class expected the mighty man to tell them that amazing day when he discovered chloroform with all its uses. To the amazement of the meeting, the mighty professor said, "My greatest discovery was the time when I discovered I was a sinner before God and I needed the blessed man of Calvary as my Savior." I'll tell you tonight, that is the world's greatest discovery. I want you to observe five things from John chapter 3 tonight. Five things that the mighty religious old man Nicodemus discovered. Number one, he discovered that he was in the dark as to the truth of new birth. Secondly, the man discovered that he was a sinner before God. Thirdly, the man discovered that apart from the operative power of the Holy Spirit himself, there could be no conviction, neither conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the mighty man discovered, in the light of verse number 13 that we read together tonight, that no man hath ascended up to the heavens. What is it the man discovers, fourthly? The man discovers that he can never get to heaven under his own power because of his own religious beliefs. The man is going to discover here that he cannot enter heaven. Lastly, I want you to observe that the mighty man discovers that in the light of verse 14, that he will only be taken up to heaven in the measure that he is prepared to accept the blessed man that was lifted up at Calvary. Will you keep that in mind tonight? The man realizes that if he is going to be taken up, it must be through simple faith in the blessed man who was lifted up at Calvary. These are the five things I want to bring to your notice tonight in the meeting. Number one, the man is going to discover that he is in the dark as to new birth. Now you say to me tonight, how do you understand that? Well, I want to be very simple in my calculations tonight. I want to look at these verses very clearly and simply by the help of God's Spirit. Why do I say tonight that this religious man, this old man, this intellectual man, he is in the dark as to new birth? Let us ponder for a moment here. Why does the Spirit of God in John 3 tell us this? That the man came to Jesus by night. Now we know that there is much speculation here. We know that scholarly men have attempted to give us this idea and the next idea. They tell us, well, he was afraid of the Sanhedrin. And of course the Bible makes it abundantly clear that the fear of man always brings a snare. I believe that there are people in our meeting tonight, and you are afraid to trust the blessed man of Calvary tonight because of what your companions at the school may think. You are afraid to trust Christ tonight because of what your bosom companion may think. Can we bring it closer? Is it possible there may be one in our meeting and you are afraid to trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight because of what your unsaved partner may think? The fear of man is a terrible thing. It's taken multitudes down to a lost eternity. You know, I could tell you tonight, there was a young woman down in Fife. My wife and I took her along in the car to the portable hall. We were having some meetings in the portable hall in a little mining village down in Fife. Night after night, this young married woman came along with us. One night, sitting in the car, my wife and I and this lady called Jane, I said to her, "Jane, listen, when are you going to get saved?" I said to her, "Listen, you know the way of salvation just as well as I do. You know it from A to Z. You have been attending meetings from infancy. Jane, when are you going to get saved?" You know what she told my wife and I that night in the car? She said, "I know I should get saved. She said, I believe from all my heart I need to be saved. She said, I'll tell you tonight the reason why I am not saved. She said, I'm afraid to go home and tell my husband I've got saved tonight." I'll tell you something. It's barely possible you're in the meeting now, and the thing that's lurking within your bosom and breast is the solemn reality of the fact that you know tonight you ought to come to the Redeemer of Calvary, and yet you're still refusing because of the fear of an unsaved partner. I don't say it's an easy thing to get saved tonight. After listening to Jane's story, I know it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. I can give my own simple testimony tonight. I can remember as a lad of 14, captain for the school football team. I can remember night after night as God's Spirit wrestled with me. I can remember as I heard the tender appeals of a loving God and a gracious Savior appealing, pleading night after night, "Jim, when are you going to get saved?" And I can remember all the difficulties. What will the other football players think of me? What will my bosom companions in the school think if I go out on Monday and say, "Boys, I'm finished. I've trusted the Savior"? I'll tell you tonight, the way of salvation, from that angle, it's not easy, is it? All these things are filling your heart tonight. The devil is so active, so subtle, that this is the thing that he would bring to bear upon your heart now: the fear of men. You know what I finally said as a young man of 14? "My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean, with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go, I will go." Friend in the meeting, it's possible as some want to suggest another reason tonight why I believe the man is in the dark as to you guys. Will you observe with me the accuracy of God's Spirit here? Listen to what the religious man says. He says, we know. He doesn't say, I know. Nicodemus is not speaking for himself. The mighty man is speaking on behalf of some other people. He says, we know. I want to suggest tonight that Nicodemus, he is speaking about the other members as well as himself of the Sanhedrin. I believe that the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders of Israel, they have come together in consultation and they are discussing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are saying four things about this lovely man. They are saying, well, we know that thou art a teacher. That's the first thing they realize about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a teacher. Secondly, they say, and we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Amazing discovery indeed. And thirdly, they say, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest. They recognize that he's doing mighty miracles. And fourthly, the Sanhedrin recognize because God is with me. Now, I see tonight simply to try and get a little point across that this statement in verse 2, we know it's the members of the Sanhedrin that Nicodemus is speaking of. Therefore, I say tonight, he does not come at night because he is afraid of the Sanhedrin. I want to suggest something else. It's possible that the other members, they have made a choice of Nicodemus. And they say, now look, Nicodemus, you're an old man. I think verse 4 proves without the shadow of a doubt that Nicodemus is an old man. Listen to what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He is an old man. John 3 as well says that he is a ruler of the Jews. Think of the prominent position the man's in. He's an old man and he's the ruler of the Jews. Now I suggest that the other members make a choice of this old man, the ruler of the Jews, to go and discuss things with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I think that's very, very clear for the context. This man is not so much afraid of men. I want to say to me, beloved friend in this name, I want to underline this now. I believe the Spirit of God tells us in this meeting now that Nicodemus comes at night because he is in the darkest of the truth of new birth. So I want to apply this in the gospel now. Do you know what kind of man this is who is in the darkest in new birth? He is a man that knows the book of God, but he knows nothing about the salvation of God. He's a man, he knows the Old Testament scriptures from A to Z. Yet he is a man that knows nothing experimentally, personally. He knows nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, a woman attended meetings like these. She went out the door one night and she said to the man at the door, she says, you know, I got saved tonight at the meeting. Oh, the preacher says, I'm glad to hear that. He says, sit down for a minute or two and tell me about it. She said, I'm sorry, I can't wait tonight. I must go home, unsaved husband going out for the night shift. She said, I must run home. Well, I said, that's all right, but see you some other time. Glad to hear you've got saved. She was never seen for 12 months. not a very good proof of a person's salvation, you know. So I'm going to tell you something tonight. It may be beneficial to the young people in the meeting. I start to plant seed of a gospel home in life one day, and God's Spirit spake to me in a powerful way. God's Spirit convicted me of my sin, told me by the word of God I was a sinner bound for a lost eternity, pointed me away now from my sin to the blessed man of Calvary. And that day, on the 7th day of January 1949, I simply bowed my heart in God's presence and said, "It's Christ for me." You know what happened that day? Above the many things that happened, there is one outstanding thing that I will never forget. Immediately within my bosom, I had a deep desire to be in the company of other Christians that knew the same Savior. He's a natural family. I have a brother in Canada. I've got another brother in Hong Kong. When my younger brother says, "Rick's home, Jim, I'm coming home," we'll go away through the press with the airport here. And we just long to see them. Why is it that we long to be in their company? Because there's a natural link. Why is it tonight that we long to be in the company of Christians? Because there is a spiritual link. I see, not a very good proof of a person's salvation. She was never seen again for 12 months. I want to leave this as a challenge in our meeting tonight. Young friend, if you have made a profession of faith in Christ, if you profess to be in God's family tonight, if you profess to love the lonely man of Calvary, if you tell me tonight, "Yes, I'm saved," I want to say one of the first desires will be there will be a kindred spirit and life between you and the other Christians. You will desire to be in their company. I want to say as a challenge as I move on tonight, if you never attend the meetings in this hall, if you have no interest in this book, if you leave the meeting tonight and you're never seen again for another week, a month, a year, challenge your convictions tonight to see whether you be in the family of God or not. Don't say, "Well, you're a hard man tonight." Beloved friend, I must give account to God for every challenge I make in this meeting tonight. I don't want to leave anyone under some false delusion tonight. Make it very clear and plain to your heart that you be in Christ tonight. Anyway, the woman came back after 12 months. She sat through another meeting. And going out the door, lo and behold, she said to her brother at the door, she said, "I got saved tonight." Well, the man at the door said, "You told us that 12 months ago." And the tears commenced to run down her face, you know. And she said, "I want to sit down and tell you all about it tonight." She said, 12 months ago, she said, "I went out the meeting with John 3:16. She said, "Tonight, I am going out the meeting with the blessed Savior of John 3:16. That's different, you know. That's different. I tell you in this meeting, it's possible for you to be like Nicodemus. It's possible for you, young friend, young man, young woman. It's possible for you tonight to be able to quote all the well-known gospel verses and never know anything about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I could tell you about my older brother who's in Hong Kong. The day after we buried our mother, she was 70 when she died. Thank God she knew the Savior. She died with cancer in the brain. She never knew any one of us for 7 long, weary days and nights, you know. Thank God she could look back to a time many years ago when she trusted the lovely man of Calvary as her Savior. The day after we buried our mother, my older brother was living down in South Wales at this time. And going down in his motor car, a young man Do we stop up and ask the lift? My brother said, fine, come into the car. But my brother's not saved yet. The young man that got into the front seat beside him said to him to get a conversation. He said, friend, can you tell me the way to heaven? My older brother began to preach the gospel to him. He quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He quoted John 3:14, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He quoted John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He told me himself, he said, I quoted John 10:9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He quoted Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He quoted John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, oh, listen to me, listen to this amazing verse that my unsaved brother quoted. He that heareth my voice, he that believeth on him that sent me, shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death and into life. I'll tell you tonight, he quoted 6 gospel verses without a Bible at all. But I want to tell you tonight, if it was possible for you or I to go to Hong Kong tonight and say, John, are you saved? He would say no. He would say, no, I'm not saved. But he knows all the gospel verses. He is like Nicodemus. He knows the scriptures, but he doesn't know the Savior. I tell you these simple things tonight, beloved friend, to make you appreciate this, that this man, with all his knowledge of the Bible, a man that could stand and quote Isaiah 53 without any trouble, not mistaken, you know, a man that could quote Psalm 22 from beginning to end, a man that could go through Psalm 23 quite easily, and yet I want to say to me, the man's in the dark as to the truth of God's salvation. Beloved friends, especially the people in our region, brought up in a Christian home, I'm quite sure if I was to ask some of the younger girls and boys in our region, can you stand up and quote John 3:16, they could do it without any trouble. They could quote all these lovely gospel verses to it tonight, and yet it's possible with all these many privileges, father, mother saved, grandmother and grandfather saved, uncles and aunts saved, yet here you are in our region tonight. You know the scriptures, but you don't know yet the blessed Savior. Are you still in the dark as to the truth of you, Beth? That's what this man is. I want to hurry on. Secondly, the man discovers that he is a sinner before God. Beloved friend in our meeting, are you going to make that discovery tonight? Are you prepared to accept the book of God in its entirety? All have sinned and come short of God's glory. Are you prepared to accept in the light of John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh? I can see this mighty man. There he wraps his religious garment about him in the chilly night of John 3. There he draws himself up. Can you see the old possible white-headed man with a beard? There he stands in all his dignity, you know. And the word of the Lord Jesus comes, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Beloved friend, it's true tonight. You may try and do it up. You may put on some religious veneer. You may say, well, I'm not as bad as someone else. You may say, well, I attend the gospel meetings. You may say, well, you know, I don't swear and I don't do this and I don't do that. And you may put on all these ideas in your mind tonight, like the furnishings with the outward veneer. But yet, when the very touch of the fire comes, the whole veneer shrivels up and the articles exposed. The Lord Jesus Christ says to you tonight, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know what Peter tells us? 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter brings this idea to my mind tonight. Peter speaks about a company like you in the meeting tonight. He speaks about a company in 2 Peter 2. A company who deny the very Lord that bought them. And you say to me tonight, how do you explain that verse? How can you tell me, relative to this verse, they deny the very Lord that bought them? Are they not saved? Are they not ready for heaven? Do these people not know the blessed Savior? They don't know nothing about him. They don't know the first thing about the blessed Lord Jesus, experimentally as a Savior. What do they know? They have a mental knowledge of everything about Christ. Watch what Peter does. Peter says, they deny the Lord that bought them. You know, in the parables in Matthew 13, it's nice to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ bought the field to get the treasure. Now, what does it mean tonight? The blessed Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, he has paid the full price over into the hand of a sin-hating God. The Lord has paid the full price enough to save every individual in our world tonight. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Although the price has been paid in full, and as the gospel goes forth, every individual can get saved tonight. Remember that. That's the treasure that's in the field. No, Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, God is the Savior of all men, but especially of those that believe. What does it mean? God wants to be the Savior of all men tonight because of the work of his Son at Calvary. But there are only certain individuals who have believed the message. Now watch what Peter does on that score. He says, you can take that sound and you can bring it into your house, and you can fill up the bath, and you can get all the modern equipment you like, and you can begin and scrub that animal right until it's spotlessly clean. And then he says, you open the door, and what happens? That animal that you have polished clean, whenever the door's open, away out she goes, back to its wallowing in the mire. Now why? Well, you see, look externally, the animal looked beautiful. Internally, there's no change made. My big friend in our meeting, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. You may do with yourself what Peter's telling us tonight. You may try and doctor yourself up externally, but if there's not an inward work from the Spirit of God commenced in your life and in your heart and in your soul, unless there's an inward work divine, there's no heaven for you and no salvation for you to be. Ah, beloved friend, will you remember in the light of John 3, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What did Adam try? He tried the fig leaves. What did Cain try? The fruit of the ground. What are you trying tonight? I said it before and I say it again. There's no salvation for you or me until we stop trying and begin trusting the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Adam in his nakedness, he takes the fig leaves. What does God do? God kills the animal, sheds blood, takes life, and then he takes the fruit and he covers Adam and Eve. God's ways are so different from your ways and mine. Did Isaiah not say that? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Beloved friend, will you realize tonight that God in his grace and love and mercy, he wants to strip you down tonight, expose you in his own presence, that you will realize you're born of the flesh, you're a guilty sinner. You're born into this world with that we sang about tonight. Amazing grace. Polluted nature died. It must come under the judgment of God. Oh, can you see yourself tonight as God sees you through his holy, unerring eye? Well, you remember the prophet Habakkuk tonight? Remember what that man says to God? Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin. Do you know what's troubling Habakkuk? Let me take a minute to give you the picture. You know what's troubling the man? The man looks around and he sees our people corrupt in their lives. He sees our people sinning with a high hand against God. He sees our people blaspheming the name of Christ. He sees our people who are deliberately taking a path of their own choice in their sin and corruption. And he's saying to God in prayer, Habakkuk, he's saying, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity. Why is it you're not judging the people? Habakkuk cannot understand why the God of heaven above is not coming down in judgment against the sin of this people. There's one thing that Habakkuk must learn, and you and I must learn tonight. You know what I mean? Habakkuk must learn that the character of God never changes. That the character of God is always the same. He hates sin. Habakkuk must learn this. That the God that hates the sin is the God that loves the sinner and he wants to move in grace. He's giving the people time to recover themselves and to repent of their sin. But remember tonight, God's character is unalterable. It never changes. But he's giving grace the space of time to people to repent of their sin. I want to tell you tonight, God's character is exactly the same tonight as it was when he judged the sin bearer for my sin at Calvary. Will you keep that in mind tonight? The same God who judged the sin bearer for my sin is the same God that hates sin tonight. Now I remember a person saying to me one time, they said to me, how can you possibly explain to me how God hates my sin yet loves me? He said, I thought that they went together. And I tried in a simple way to explain to that person that very thing. I said to him, listen, think of a human illustration. Go into a little bedroom some night, and there see a little child lying in a cot, tossing and tumbling. She has the fever. The fever's pitching high. The wee girl can't sleep. And as you take a look into the darkened room again, you see a loving mother sitting by her side. Time and time again, she's putting the dark cloth on the forehead. She takes the little girl by the hand and she speaks soothing words to the wee lass as there she lies. What's the picture? That mother, she loathes that fever. And I'll tell you something, that mother loves that child. Will you catch that tonight? If that mother sits, she loathes that fever, but she loves that child. The God in high heaven above tonight, He loathes your sin, that He loves you the sinner tonight. Will you appreciate the fact that that which is born of the flesh is flesh? Man, the Lord Jesus Christ just brought Nicodemus right down, you know, and put him on the same common platform as every one of us tonight. That we are all sinners before God. No difference, the Bible says. We are all on the same common platform. We are all guilty before God tonight. Beloved friend, you're a sinner before God. You're born of the flesh. And the Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Discovery number three, Lewis, we must finish tonight. Discovery number three. The man is going to discover that apart from the power of the pleadings and promptings of the Holy Spirit of God, there can be no salvation for him. What is the Lord saying? He says, Nicodemus, let us go out now into the night. Catch the picture. Let us go out down, Nicodemus. Let us stand among the trees. What a beautiful picture, you know, John 3. The Lord says, now Nicodemus, I want you to listen. That's something people don't want to do, you know. If there's one thing that people just don't want to do today, they don't want to stand and stop and listen to the voice of God. They're too busy. They're running here and there. They won't take time to ponder and consider. The Lord says, Nicodemus, listen. Hear the stillness of the night. Nicodemus hears the wind as it rustles through the trees. Now it says, Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. The sovereign movements of God's Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. But you cannot tell from whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does it mean? Nicodemus, he can't see the wind, but he can know and hear its effects. I'll tell you, beloved friend, tonight, I have no doubt in my heart now as I speak this simple word to you. You're sitting in this meeting room tonight. A work between you and God's Spirit may be going on now. Not another person in the meeting know anything about it. It's an individual, personal thing between you and God's Spirit now. Is the Spirit of God speaking to your soul now? Is He bringing before you the reality of your sin? Is He bringing before you now the awfulness of an eternity without Christ? Is He bringing before you the reality of death? Is He bringing before you now what it means to trifle with God's salvation? That which is born of the Spirit. The Spirit. It's outside human support tonight. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul in Romans 4 says, it's to him that worketh not, but believeth. It's something now in this meeting between you and God, and that God's Spirit is working in your heart and conscience tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ says, remember, Nicodemus, you were born of the flesh into this world, into a natural family. If you are prepared tonight to bow the knee and confess your guilt and trust the sinner's Savior as your own, by the Spirit of God you can be born from above into the family of God tonight. At the time as well, Lord, I say in closing, are you going to discover tonight that you're in the darkest in your birth with all your knowledge of the Scriptures? Are you going to discover tonight you're a guilty sinner before God, born of the flesh? And are you going to discover tonight that you're going to be saved, it must be through the direct workings of God's Spirit now, not your own workings? Fourthly, are you going to discover tonight that no man at all, we can mention prominent men, we can think of all the intellectual brilliant men in our land tonight, the Bible says no man hath ascended up to heaven. They put three men on the moon. They will never by their own power put one man in heaven. It's going to take, I repeat in closing now, discovery number five is this, that if you and I are going to be taken up to heaven, it must be through faith in the blessed man that was lifted up in verse 14. You must turn to Calvary. The meeting was commenced this morning to Calvary, Lord. That's where we must finish the meeting today. We must appreciate now, beloved friend, in the meeting, if you're going to enjoy God's salvation, and I trust you, Lord, you must come now to the place called Calvary, and you must claim the sinner's Savior as your own. You must be Him. It's Him that you need tonight. What does the sister? A woman in an hospital was dying one night, and she called over to a Christian friend and she said, "Listen, I think I'm dying." She said, "Will you call the night nurse?" She did. She said to the night nurse, "Will you send for the local parish priest, please?" The night nurse did. The young parish priest came along to the Roman Catholic lady that was dying, and he brought the sacrament. But I'll tell you something, he never brought the Savior. He ministered the sacrament to her and said some high mass and went away. And with a feeble voice, the dying lady said to the Christian lady, she said, "I thought it would have done me more good." And the Christian lady, taking her by the hand, said, "Friend, it's not it that you need, it's Him that you need. The blessed Lord Jesus, the Saviour of Calvary." Beloved friend, in closing tonight, I say, let us go to Calvary now. And I would ask you in your closing moments to trust the Saviour, to take Him as your very own. Don't put it off any longer. This is the time. Oh then, be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not? Our God and our Father, we come to thee at the close of our meeting, and we ask thee, our God, to move in our midst by thy Spirit. And our God and Father, save some sinner tonight for the glory of the blessed man of Calvary. And we ask these things in His alone worthy and precious name. Amen. Can we take a moment to sing one verse only, and then we can go back? 230. Verse number 3. O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive thou, Lord, but leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore? Keeping our seats, 230, verse 3 in the chorus, and then after we sing this one verse, as we always say, the meeting's entirely over. But if any individual would like a further talk with us about these eternal matters, just feel perfectly free to mention it to us. That's why we are here tonight.